This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
More reaction from the president's big address to Congress last night and some breaking news on our fourth and final hour. He has modified his sweeping tariff policy. I'll tell you all about that as we get started here. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Been a banger of a show today. And there you go. So very, very cool. Tomorrow from 9 to 12, I'll be filling in for Chad Benson on his nationally syndicated show. It's part of Radio America with Dana Lash. I'll be filling in for Dana Lash next week for 3 days. So we'll have 7 hours of radio fun tomorrow and Friday, and then 7 hours of radio fun Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. So there you go. That'll be fun. So tune in if you're around tomorrow from 9 to 12 a.m. And so Justin Trudeau of Canada, little Justin called the president. This is what he said. He said, Justin Trudeau of Canada called me to ask what could be done about tariffs. I told him that many people have died from fentanyl that came through the borders of Canada and Mexico, and nothing has convinced me that it has stopped. He said that it's gotten better, but I said that's not good enough. The call ended in a somewhat friendly matter. Excuse me. He was unable to tell me when the Canadian election is taking place, which made me curious, like what's going on here. I then realized he's trying to use this issue to stay in power. Good luck, Justin. He did not call him Governor Trudeau, though. I did notice that. The president has put a one-month delay in tariffs on automakers that don't make their cars in the United States of America. Okay? So that's happening. And today, Peter Ducey asked asked Caroline Leavitt about the president negotiating with terrorists, being Hamas. And what she said was that the president now is giving an ultimatum to them to release all the hostages. Several hostages were released. And the president met with eight of them today in the Oval Office, and he's now giving them an ultimatum that they have to be released. And so hopefully that that occurs. But he's not messing around here, and he wants Hamas to know that. So the idea of negotiating with terrorists, I understand his point. The other point that Ducey made today was he said, why is it that Elon Musk doesn't wear a suit? And Caroline Leavitt said, well, he did wear a suit last night at the State of the Union address, which is true. But the thing about it, though, is that Elon Musk is a volunteer. And Zelensky is the head of state coming to the United States asking for money. So I don't think it's the same thing, in my opinion. I don't think it's the same. This hour, I want to get into Jay Bhattacharya, who is the NIH director nominee, said some things that made me very, very happy today about freedom of speech in terms of science and medicine and all of that. And the White House press secretary today with her press briefing and more from the president's address to Congress last night, which, of course, you know, you can't officially call it a State of the Union address. It was not, but it was a address to Congress, which he kicked off. And that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So go see him today. One of the things that I liked about the president's speech, I liked a lot of it. I said it was an A-plus speech, but he talked about ending the tyranny of so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Now, a great point that was made, I don't remember who made it, but, you know, if this had actually brought people to be more inclusive, that would be one thing. But all of these policies led to more people who wound up being absolutely in every way, shape, or form. It just created a culture that was people walking on eggshells, afraid to say anything to each other. And a lot of people were pushed out of their jobs over DEI, didn't get jobs because of DEI. And these policies were disastrous, racist, and everything else. So I'm glad the president brought that up last night. Cut number six.
We've ended the tyranny of so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies all across the entire federal government and indeed the private sector and our military. And our country will be woke no longer. We believe that whether you are a doctor, an accountant, a lawyer, or an air traffic controller, you should be hired and promoted based on skill and competence, not race or gender. Very important. You should be hired based on merit. And the Supreme Court, in a brave and very powerful decision, has allowed us to do so. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have removed the poison of critical race theory from our public schools, and I signed an order making it the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Good. Male and female. Now, that was last night. And then today, as I've been mentioning throughout the show, the Supreme Court of the United States came out with a ruling that is just atrocious. And I agree with the dissent by Justice Samuel Alito, who just called it a shocking decision by the Supreme Court. I'll talk a little bit more about that this hour as well. Here is the White House press secretary from earlier this morning. She really does a fantastic job. I think Caroline is just, she's a true warrior. And she went after, this was on, I'm trying to think which show it was. Let's pull up the clip real quick here. ABC News. Yes, ABC News. And this is the exchange here. It's a little bit long, but it's worth hearing about. Take a listen.
You want to talk about violence against political opponents? Let's talk about the fact that Democrats have been labeling President Trump a threat to democracy for the better half of 10 years. Let's talk about how they have compared him to Hitler, one of the worst mass murderers in the history of the world, and that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden weaponized the court system and the justice system in this country against Donald Trump in an attempt to imprison him. He sat through a courthouse for 7 weeks this past year, and the Democrats were hoping
That's the thing. Last night, the president saying we've ended the weaponization of government and have that work out for you. I really do believe that going after him in that manner was a disgrace. It really was. But hey, it helped him win. I really believe that. I really do believe it helped him win. Elon Musk posted a short time ago on X. You know, those astronauts who were stuck up in space, they were only supposed to be up there for 8 days. And now they've been up there for 8 months. He said SpaceX could have sent up another Dragon and brought them home 6 months ago, but the Biden White House, not NASA, refused to allow it. President Trump has now asked me to bring them back as soon as possible, and we are doing so. So it turns out that NASA, that Elon Musk was telling the truth. Biden refused to let the stranded astronauts to come home last year for political reasons. It's just absolutely outrageous. Astronaut Butch Wilmore, who went to the ISS on the Boeing Starliner last year, has confirmed that Elon Musk had offered to bring back the astronauts in 2024 and stated that the return was delayed by the Biden administration for political reasons. So, I don't know. It was said today by Dan Muser. I don't know if Elon Musk is the smartest man in the world. I think he probably is certainly top five, which is pretty good. If you ask me, that's pretty good. But Donald Trump Jr. said during the campaign, he said he's the Albert Einstein of our time. And this is a man we've got helping with government. And I agree. And I think it's good. But they hate him. And a lot of the signs they had last night were mocking Elon Musk. And certainly they all hate him. They really do. They hate how rich he is. They hate that he's cutting government. They just can't stand it. They really can't. Now, today, as I mentioned to you, some breaking news going into this hour, the president putting a 1 month delay on car manufacturers that don't build in America. Here is Howard Lutnick, who says that we could be probably getting a compromised possibly today, still some time, maybe tomorrow, on the idea of these 25% tariffs with Canada and with Mexico. And I read to you the Truth Social post the president put out a short time ago, cut 27.
Both the Mexicans and the Canadians were on the phone with me all day today trying to show that they'll do better. And the president's listening because, you know, he's very, very fair and very reasonable. So I think he's going to work something out with them. It's not going to be a pause, none of that pause stuff. But I think he's going to figure out, you do more and I'll meet you in the middle some way. And we're going to probably be announcing that tomorrow. So somewhere in the middle will likely be the outcome. The president moving with the Canadians and Mexicans, but not all the way.
All right. And then Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, who's also the chair of the Energy Dominance Council, said on CNN with Caitlin Collins today that these reciprocal tariffs are a negotiating tool. Cut 26.
Well, I think the fact that he's been very clear that these are reciprocal tariffs, that is a negotiating tool, because we'll have some countries, and many have, I mean, in aggregate across the world, the other countries tariff America more than we tariff them. Our market has been more open than they've been to us, both in a sense of a tariff and also in non-monetary restrictions, which he mentioned in his remarks. So if our market's open and theirs aren't, he just wants reciprocity. So if they say, hey, we're going to lower our tariff on America, we'll lower ours. I mean, it could also be a path where some countries may just choose, we don't want to have tariffs either way on goods coming to or from America. So it's really up to other countries. They can choose.
Another moment I loved of the speech last night, it was when the president said that he brought Mark Fogel home, Pennsylvania's own Mark Fogel. This was a very big deal. Obviously, I think I really don't care what the crime is. I want to get these American citizens home. And when they're in Russian prisons like that for a stupid thing of having, you know, some medical marijuana, it's stupid. Look, obviously, everybody has a responsibility to know before you travel what the laws of a country are for your own good. But let's face it, this was ridiculous. And good on President Trump for getting him home. Cut 23.
Nearly 4 years ago, amid rising tensions, a history teacher named Mark Fogel was detained in Russia and sentenced to 14 years in a penal colony. Rough stuff. The previous administration barely lifted a finger to help him. They knew he was innocent, but they had no idea where to begin. But last summer, I promised his 95-year-old mother, Malfine, that we would bring her boy safely back home. After 22 days in office, I did just that, and they are here tonight.
Democrats aren't clapping. The clown show freaks are not clapping. They didn't clap for that either last night. No. From the cane-waving lunatic, the lesser Al Green, to the Democrats with their childish antics last night, they didn't clap for that either. Nope, didn't clap for a 13-year-old boy with brain cancer. Didn't clap for a woman who was violently bullied. I shouldn't say violently bullied, but aggressively bullied. Didn't clap for the family of Corey Compitore. Didn't clap for the woman who was badly hurt by a transgender bio dude in volleyball. They didn't clap for a young man who was admitted to West Point who lost his dad. They didn't clap for free speech last night. I mean, I could go on and on. Their antics are backfired so bad on them from their ridiculous, childish antics and a clown show. An absolute clown show of the left. All right, more to come. I'll tell you what the White House press secretary said about that terrorist mastermind behind the Abbey Gate attack. Some good news on that. We got more to come in our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, A-plus speech last night, but let's clarify a few things, shall we? Number one, let's clarify the fact that, yes, the Biden administration did spend a whole lot of money on transgender lab rats. That's right. Transgender lab rats, among other things. Yes, the Biden administration spent millions on transgender animal experiments. The fact that I even have to clarify this, that I even have to spend time on this, it's amazing, but we live in the dumbest time ever, so it's really not that surprising when you think about it. Glad you're here in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. $455,000, a mouse model to test the effects of gender-affirming hormone therapy on HIV vaccine-induced immune responses. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I'm no science guy, but I don't even know. Gender-affirming therapy on HIV. Anyway, $2.5 million. The reproductive consequences of steroid hormone administration. These mice manifest defects in ovarian architecture and have altered follicle genesis. Follicle genesis. Whatever it is. The only word I can really pronounce here is mice, to be totally honest with you. $100,000 on gender-affirming testosterone therapy on breast cancer risk and treatment outcomes. We will compare the incidences and tumor-specific survival in female mice intact and oophorectomized female mice receiving TT with their respective counterparts that did not receive testosterone therapy. Okay. $735,000 on microbe-mediated effects of gender-affirming hormone therapy in mice. $1.2 million androgen effects on the reproductive neuroendocrine axis. AIM-2 utilizes transgenic mice to test whether male-level androgens acting via AR specifically in Kispetin neurons are necessary and are sufficient for androgen inhibition of in vivo LH pulse parameters, including pulse frequency and the estrogen-induced LH surge. By the way, just for the record, my Queensryche cover band name in college was Transgender Lab Rats. So, or Transgender Lab Mice. We changed the name halfway through, like Jefferson Starship and Jefferson Airplane. It was Transgender Lab Rats, and then it was Transgender Lab Mice. But, you know, these things happen, so... $3.1 million on gonadal hormones as mediators of sex and gender influences in asthma. We will study the contributions of estrogen to HDM-induced asthma outcomes using male and female gonadotized mice treatments with estrogen. I don't even know how to pronounce these friggin' words, man. All I know is $3.1 million. I can pronounce that. I may not be able to pronounce gonadotectomized, but I can pronounce $3.1 million. That's a total of $8.3 million on transgender animal experiments. Or as our friends at the White Coat Waste Project call it, barbaric, cruel, waste of your money, and also insane. In fact, our buddy Justin Goodman over at the White Coast Waste Project pointed out at last night's State of the Union, President Trump remarked $8 million for making mice transgender. This is real. Referring to the White Coat Waste new investigation exposing wasteful spending, including DEI grants, bankrolling disturbing transgender animal experiments. This morning, DOGE announced that it cut 7 tax-funded grants exposed by the White Coat Waste Project and flagged for DOGE that were funding transgender animal tests, including $532,000 to use a mouse model to investigate the effects of cross-sex testosterone treatment, $33,000 to test feminizing hormone therapy in the male rat. Just last week, Joe Rogan and Elon Musk criticized these experiments exposed by the White Coat Waste Project, with Musk calling them mutilating animals in demented studies that are like the worst thing you can imagine from a horror show. Founder of the White Coat Waste Project said, "We applaud President Trump, Elon Musk, and DOGE for taking swift and decisive action. They cut millions in wasteful spending on distributing transgender animal experiments exposed by White Coat Waste investigation of how Anthony Fauci, NIH, and other federal agencies squandered over $250 million to give lab animals invasive surgeries and hormone therapies to mimic trans kids and adults and inject them with vaccines and even overdoses of sex party drugs." Well, maybe the mice like that. I don't know. Probably not the overdose part, but maybe the sex party drugs they liked. It's possible. I don't know. Taxpayers and pet owners in both parties shouldn't be forced to pay for these sickening animal tests. And thanks to our investigation and DOGE, they won't have to. good for our friends over there at the White Coat Waste Project for pointing that out. I think it's very important to point that out. Just to make, and the president, when he said that last, I had a big chuckle actually last night when the president said that, when he said, this is real. Like this is real. This is not, you know, no, I mean, no joke, folks, this is real. But he didn't have to say it in that hokey, dumb Biden way. He actually just said it like, you know, the president would say it, like the president does say things, which is the real way to say things.
Transgender.
Oh, started again. Here we go.
$8 million for making mice transgender. This is real.
Yeah, no, it is real. That's right. It's transgender lab rats. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. So there you go. I mean, it's just amazing that this is actually a thing in this day and age, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? This is actually a thing. But thank God that the White Coat Waste Project has been out there exposing this stuff. I think it's good. And do you, I mean, as a taxpayer, do you want any of this money? Do you want any of this being paid for with your taxpayer dollars? Honestly. I also want to mention, too, today at the White House press briefing, Caroline Leavitt was asked about Ukraine and pointed out how the Democrats did not clap for peace. I mean, there was America's mother-in-law clapping for Ukraine, but none of the Democrats clapped for peace, which is something the White House is working towards, trying to achieve peace, which would be good for all of us.
Recently about how what happened in the Oval Office last week gave Americans an inside look into behind-the-scenes discussions with Zelensky. Is this how he treated Joe Biden and just treated him disrespectfully and received billions of dollars?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I don't know if anybody in here asked the previous, my predecessor who stood at this podium about that, but there was a report from NBC News that President Biden also got increasingly frustrated with President Zelensky when he was handing out blank checks and President Zelensky kept asking for more. Joe Biden was quite frustrated with that. So again, as I've said repeatedly, Friday revealed the frustrations that this administration has had in closed door negotiations with the Ukrainians. However, President Zelensky did put out a statement yesterday, which we believe is a positive step forward. And National Security Advisor Mike Waltz has been talking to his Ukrainian counterparts. And so we're in the midst of this, and we'll see what happens next. Caitlin.
Thanks, Caroline. I have two questions. One on the reprieve that is being granted to these three automakers for 1 month on the tariffs on Canada and Mexico.
We'll come back to that in just a second. The other thing I want to mention is Alyssa Slotkin, who gave the rebuttal to Trump's speech last night. This is her reading an LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet book to children about how kids can be transgender.
I don't mind being different. Different is special. I think what matters most is what a person is like on the inside. And inside, I'm happy. I'm having fun. I'm proud. I am jazz.
Mm-hmm. About a transgender kid. So that nonsense, that indoctrination is going away. Thank God. That's good. Thank God. The White House also got into the updates regarding little Justin Trudeau and his meltdown yesterday. And it was a meltdown, no doubt about that. It was a meltdown that the governor said, Governor Trudeau. I don't know. I like that. You know, some people think it's funny, but I think it's funny. But look, they're working something out. Howard Lutnick said today they're working something out. They're working on something. I have full faith that they'll have something in place. I would not worry about it. That's me. That's my sense of it. And of course, the moment last night during the speech that got to everybody was this situation with the young man, DJ Daniel. DJ Daniel, the little boy who has brain cancer and was only given a few months to live. Now sworn in as an honorary Secret Service member, and the Democrats didn't even clap for him. That was pathetic. That was just awful. But I tell you, this kid, man, this kid is a strong kid. And I love watching him and his dad this morning on Fox and Friends. I don't know if you had a chance to see that or not. It was really great. It's the cruelty on display last night by the Democrats refusing to clap for a young girl who was viciously bullied. This little boy, the family of Lakin Riley, the family of Corey Compitore. I mean, the behavior last night of the Democrats was, as Caroline Leavitt said at the White House press briefing today, completely and utterly unacceptable. It was childish. They were. It was a clown show. It really was. It was a clown show. It was so incredibly disrespectful to the American people and to these people who were in the audience last night.
And as President Trump asked in his speech last night, how could anyone possibly be opposed to any of this action that he is taking? Well, apparently, the modern-day Democrat Party could. The behavior of Democrats last night was completely disgraceful and demonstrated how severely out of touch they are with the American public. It was the most shameful moment in the history of presidential addresses in that beautiful chamber. In what was supposed to be a unifying moment for our country, Democrat members of Congress instead screamed at the President of the United States, who was just overwhelmingly reelected by...
Wait. Don't forget, too, Caroline. I mean, you know, Representative Jamal Green, the lesser Green, Al Green, excuse me, came after him with a cane, tried to go after him with a cane. Let's not forget that. Yeah. They tried to fight with him, fight the president with a cane like it was 1876.
Their constituents walked out of the chamber, and worst of all, they disrespected the American people. Democrats didn't stand to keep men out of women's sports.
Nope.
They couldn't even clap for a girl who got her head smashed in by a man on a volleyball court. Democrats didn't stand for an innocent and beautiful child who is surviving brain cancer. They opposed eliminating taxes on tips and Social Security. They didn't stand in favor of cutting taxes for hardworking Americans. They couldn't even clap for two mothers whose daughters were killed by illegal aliens. One of the only things that could get Democrats off their feet last night was cheering for Ukraine, not for America. Last night was a very clarifying moment for our country.
Indeed it was, but the Democrats didn't clap for peace. They just clapped for the country of Ukraine. Not for peace. Let's just, you know, let's clarify that and point that out. Oh, you know what else today I wanted to mention to you, too? I was very happy. It's not making as much news, but Jay Bhattacharya, who I think he's fantastic. I really do. I think he's one of the absolute best. Jay Bhattacharya has already come out and he's spoken today at his hearing about restoring free speech and restoring, as at the National Institutes of Health, a culture of respect for science and for disagreement in science. I thought that was really important. That made me very, very happy to hear Jay Bhattacharya say that.
I will establish a culture of respect for free speech in science and scientific dissent at the NIH. Over the last few years, top NIH officials oversaw a culture of cover-up, obfuscation, and a lack of tolerance for ideas that differed from theirs. Dissent is the very essence of science. I'll foster a culture where NIH leadership will actively encourage different perspectives and create an environment where scientists, including early career scientists and scientists that disagree with me, can express disagreement respectfully.
Good for him. That would be nice. Because, you know, in some states like California and New Jersey, for example, if you're a doctor and you don't follow the state's established science, then they'll take away your medical license. Oh, yeah, they'll take away your medical license. That's what they'll do. They'll threaten you into science and complicity. And you can't advance science that way if you are afraid to push back on conventional thinking. And so I'm glad to see on the federal level, not only will we stop transgender lab rat experiments, but we'll also allow a culture of free speech, a culture that will challenge conventional norms and ideas. And I think that is really, really important. No doubt about that. Okay, more to come on our fourth and final hour before we go to break, or I say before we turn it over to Jimmy Failla. James Carville melting down on the air, threatened to punch a computer during the CNN segment on Trump. We got that for you. And the president last night in his A-plus speech, and I really do think it was an outstanding speech. You know me, I'm always objective about things. I mean, I always give objective scores and grades. I've done that with the president's debates in the past. I've done that these things, no doubt about that. But one of the things that I think is consistent about me is I call it the way I see it. And I think that speech was A-plus, baby, A-plus. The Democrats, a giant F-minus for their behavior. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, the TDS is real. It's real. It's real. It's real. That's right. James Carville accusing the president of hating the United States of America. No, I think Democrats hate the United States of America. James, I got news for you. Their behavior last night, the way they acted last night, they hate the United States of America. President Trump loves this country. That was very obvious. And I loved how optimistic he was about America. I thought it was fantastic. But this is what Carville has to say.
I've come to think maybe Donald Trump hates the United States.
Hates it.
It's a very significant thing to have. Then look at Mexico. North America for the past 20 years has been an economic powerhouse. I mean, if you look at the economic power of Canada, the United States, and Mexico, it's pretty impressive. And I don't know, because to try to explain, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this to Zelensky? Why is he voting with North Korea and Russia and God what? Knows Belarus and the United Nations?
This is
Nations.
A free zone.
What are you talking about?
This is similar to some of the wording, John, that they used last
some
time.
Possibility. We have to consider the possibility that our president hates our country. people say, no, he's just full of resentment or something, and that could be true. But that does explain why he's going out of his way to hurt the country at every juncture that he can. I mean, to the point of siding with North Korea and Belarus.
Are you referring to that United Nations resolution, which the U.S. joined North That's Korea, right. Belarus, Russia, and avoiding, didn't want the U.S. under the Trump administration, didn't want to criticize Russia?
Because we're trying to make a peace agreement. We're trying to have peace. Why is that so hard for you people to understand? Honestly, why is it so hard for you people to understand that we're trying to have peace? And when you're negotiating, when you do these things, you don't turn around and start criticizing. You're trying to end the war and make peace. All right? That's what we want. That's what the president wants. That's what he said. That's what he said last night.
Earlier today, I received an important letter from President Zelensky of Ukraine. The letter reads, Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than the Ukrainians, he said. My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts.
Great.
We do really value how much America has done to help Ukraine maintain its sovereignty and independence. Regarding the agreement on minerals and security, Ukraine is ready to sign it at any time that is convenient for you. I appreciate that he sent this letter, just got it a little while ago. Simultaneously, we've had serious discussions with Russia and have received strong signals that they are ready for peace. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that be beautiful?
Yes. Yeah, and Democrats are not clapping for this, by the way. Democrats are not clapping. They're just sitting down. You saw this. You watched it last night. And one guy starts to clap. You know what's really funny about that is this one guy starts to clap on the Democrat side, and then he looks around. And he's like, oh, no, I can't clap. I can't clap for peace. No? Okay. And then he stops clapping. I swear that really happened. I'm not making that up. How can I make that up?
Wouldn't that be beautiful? It's time to stop this madness. It's time to halt the killing. It's time to end this senseless war. If you want to end wars, you have to talk to both sides.
Right. You do. You have to talk to both sides. You have to have peace. That's what peace is. I got news for you. That's what peace looks like. And so if we're going to do that, we want to do that. We want to have peace. You know what peace doesn't look like, though, or doesn't sound like? It doesn't sound like this.
Members are directed to uphold and maintain decorum in the House.
They have
and
no
to
decorum.
Cease any further disruptions. That's your warning.
This is when I was tweeting, kick him out.
Members are engaging in willful and continuing breach of decorum, and the chair is prepared to direct the sergeant at arms to restore order to the joint session.
Think about what they had to do last night. Think about the clown show of the Democrat Party. Think about that. A clown show in the Democrat Party with Al Green getting booted out of there, getting booted out. I mean, he's just a jackass. The guy's a jackass. I just keep going with it. I love this. And he's got his cane and he's yelling. yelling, yeah, holding up his cane like it's like he wants to fight.
Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat, sir. Take your seat.
Nope.
Finding that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
Kick him out. Now, look, you might say to yourself, he was obviously doing this for attention, so why give him the attention? I'm giving him the attention because I want to show everybody the childish behavior and the childish antics of the left. And I don't know. I mean, if you're a Democrat, is that cool with you? A guy standing up? I remember when somebody yelled out to Obama, "You lie," during his State of the Union address. And it was, we had 2 weeks of debate on talk radio about whether or not that was appropriate or not. This dude was waving his cane. Like he was Andrew Jackson. He was gonna beat a guy to death with his cane, and he should be censured for that behavior last night. It was disgraceful. It really was.
Somebody like Al Green when he pulls off a stunt like that.
Well, we escorted him off the floor. He couldn't behave himself. It's quite shameful. It brought shame on. I'm sure his constituents are not proud of that tonight. But I suspect that there'll be a censure resolution brought on the floor to discipline him. We have to do that inside the House. We have to maintain decorum. Yeah.
Dastardly deeds done dirt cheap. Dastardly deeds done dirt cheap. That's right. Dastardly deeds done dirt cheap. I wanted to mention this, too. You know, this is really, really important that the justice for the of Abigate. And I want to mention that, too. I also want to mention, too, that Justice Alito, Samuel Alito, stunned by the court's decision in his dissent, joined by Thomas, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, who said, does a single district court judge who likely lacks jurisdiction have the unchecked power to compel the government of the United States to pay out and probably lose forever $2 billion, a single district court judge. And Amy Coney Barrett, I am disappointed. I am very disappointed in Amy Coney Barrett. We all should be disappointed in Amy Coney Barrett, but I'm not surprised. She had that terrible ruling on the free speech case, too. I really worry about her. I really do. I'm serious. It really concerns me that she did this. And I think his point about this, the answer to that question should be an emphatic no, but a majority of this court apparently thinks otherwise. I am stunned. Justice Samuel Alito stunned by the court's decision, stunned by his colleague Amy Coney Barrett siding with the left on this issue. A single district court judge forcing the United States of America to pay out $2 billion. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. It really is outrageous. Oh, and I want to mention today that, you know, the president mentioned the terrorist who's been detained. Well, he's now on U.S. soil. Arrived in Dulles today. That was something that was an update that was given earlier today by Caroline Leavitt at the White House press briefing.
Finally, after nearly 4 years, President Trump delivered justice for the families of the 13 American heroes who were killed at Abbey Gate in the Biden botched Afghanistan withdrawal, which was one of the worst humiliations in the history of our country.
Absolutely.
President Trump announced that we have detained Mohammed Sharifullah, the monster who was responsible for that horrific attack, and he was delivered to Dulles Airfield earlier this morning. On his first day in office, President Trump's national security team across the federal government prioritized intelligence gathering to locate this evil individual. President Trump's team shared intelligence with regional partners such as Pakistan, who helped identify this monster in the borderland area late last month. Mohammed confessed to his crimes related to Abbey Gate and other attacks in Russia and Iran as well to the Pakistanis. And U.S. law enforcement officers traveled to Pakistan over the weekend, where he again confessed his crimes to the FBI. As President Trump said last night, this killer will now face the swift sword of American justice. Good. For these atrocities right here on United States Good. Soil. Joe Biden was responsible for this botched withdrawal, and he had 3 years to find this evil terrorist, and he didn't even try to get the job done. But President Trump campaigned on behalf of and grew very close to the Gold Star families. He promised them accountability, and last night, he kept his promise. He spoke to those Gold Star families yesterday ahead of his speech in an incredibly heartwarming call to share this incredible news. And as President Trump asked in his speech last night, how could anyone possibly be opposed to any of this? action that he is taking.
They didn't even cheer for that, though. They didn't cheer for that. They refused to stand up and cheer for that yesterday. And now the question becomes, will the Democrats ever apologize for their antics and their behavior? I think you know the answer to that. The answer to that is no. Have a great rest of your night tonight. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon is up next. Enjoy it. We'll be back tomorrow with you for a four-hour show, of course. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.